home of the Suns' run to the championship. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station, and the Arizona Sports app. Suns playoff coverage presented by Four Peaks Kilt Lifter. Doug and Wolf talk Suns Clippers now.
Really cool of Chris Broussard to say yes. He is Fox Sports FS1 NBA insider, and he joins us right now on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. I started off with this, Chris. A couple weeks ago, he was not all NBA. Do you think Devin Booker is one of the top 15 players in the association?
Well, let me put it this way. He was on my second team all NBA. I'm an official voter. I had him second team along with Damian Lillard as a guard. So, if you're saying top 15 because obviously there are 15 players on all three NBA teams,
yes,
then he would be in that grouping. Look, I think Devin has been underrated for the past 5 years because obviously they haven't won in Phoenix, and when that happens. You know, people haven't looked down on him because he's still young, obviously. And when you're young and you're putting up numbers but not winning, people don't really hold it against you. They give you – you got that little honeymoon period where it's about just establishing that you're an individual star. You put up your numbers. You get your max deal. And if you don't win, we understand you're young. But then there gets to a point where if you don't start winning – then it begins to work against you and you don't really get the respect you deserve as you work into the middle part of your career. Well, Devin, like I said, I don't think he's been disrespected, but I think he's been overlooked. Mm-hmm. When you look at all these lists people put out of the top five players under 25 years old, he's rarely been on them. And so now he is getting to show America that he is indeed one of the best players, not only 25 and under, but one of the better players in the league, in the world. And what I like about Devin, obviously his game, he can do it at every level. He can finish, he can hit the mid-range, which too many people overlook. Let me just say this to all your young hoopers out there, your dads who have kids playing basketball. Do not neglect the mid-range.
Amen.
Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, Kawhi Leonard, what do they all have in common? They're mid-range assassins. All right, don't neglect the mid-range. And then, of course, Devin can shoot the three fairly well. He's not Steph Curry, but he shoots it pretty well. And he's 6'5 to boot. But what I like is that I've sat down with Devin once and talked to him. And he, as you guys I'm sure know in Phoenix, he loves Kobe Bryant's Mamba mentality.
Yep.
And that is what he wants to have. That is what he feels like he's always had. And Kobe's co-signed it when they used to talk. And so I think he's got the killer instinct that's necessary to win big. And, God, I'll end it with this. I don't know if you've heard me, but all year long as the drumbeat was for Chris Paul to win MVP, and Chris was third on my ballot. So, I gave him some love in that regard. But I always said, look, it is much more of a 1-1A or 1A, 1B, however you want to term it, in Phoenix than people are admitting. Devin Booker's arguably the best player on the team.
Oh, yeah.
And so I think now people are beginning to see that.
Chris, specifically last night, what did you think of Devin Booker and how he played? What was the most impressive thing about D-Book last night?
Well, I think look, it's his first time in the Western Conference Finals. And I said, going into the series with the Lakers in the first round, I thought the Lakers would be healthy. I said Phoenix, with Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton in their first ever playoff series, they're not beating LeBron James and Anthony Davis. Now, they weren't healthy. Obviously, we saw what happened. But my point is the poise. And you've seen it in every playoff game pretty much, certainly every series from Devin. And last night in his first ever Western Conference playoff game or finals game, he was tremendous. And the streak, what did he hit? How many, 16 straight points or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
In the third quarter, that's what really most impressed me, was when he kept sinking those jumpers and just took control of the game. against a very stout defense. And so that string was what most impressed me. I know he got cold from three. He was putting up a lot of threes toward the end. And then, of course, he gets the layup on the broken play defensively by the Clippers to kind of seal it. But I think that streak is what most impressed me. And the fact that he did everything. He didn't just score. He was feeding his teammates. When they doubled him, he passed with effectiveness to his open teammates for good looks and baskets. And so that made, you know, doubling him kind of a two-edged sword. Like, pick your poison. Are you going to let him kill you from mid-range? Or if you double him, he might hit the open man for a three-pointer. And he did that last night. That's why he had the triple-double.
You can see him on Fox Sports, FS1. Analyst Chris Broussard, deep NBA insider. I'm not even going to ask you a question. I'm just going to give you a name, and you say what's on your mind. Monty Williams.
Well, look, I love Monty. I know him pretty well. I have a long thought that Monty was overlooked or underrated as a coach, to use the same words I used on Devin Booker. We know he was in New Orleans, and, you know, it obviously didn't work out there, you know, for the long term. But even there, I thought he did a good job. And when you look back at those years, a lot of it was that they were always hurt. And so he really, you know, you couldn't – I don't blame it all on him. And they actually had pretty good talent on their team, but they really couldn't get healthy. And so I just think Monty's been kind of overlooked for a while. But this year, when you watched the game yesterday, I thought you could see how well coached the Suns were, because they were able to create open looks off the Clippers defense that Utah to some degree wasn't able to do. And so players were getting to the right spots, and the rotations were strong defensively. And so I think Monty Williams, he was my vote for Coach of the Year. I'm shocked he didn't win. I don't use that word lightly either, shocked. And I thought Tibbs did a great job. And Monty did get more first-place votes. But yeah. I'm not sure how Tibbs won that over him. But I thought Monty deserved it. And, you know, he's showing that he truly is a tremendous coach. Again, Chris has been spectacular. And I think many – in the basketball world who aren't fans of, you know, one particular team, or if their team is out of it already, they would love to see Chris's career be crowned with a championship. It's kind of like you want the resume to match the greatness. But I think in all the flowers we've thrown at Chris, Devin and Monty have been overlooked. And I think now, you know, these few games that Chris is out, they're kind of showing that it was more than just the Chris Paul showing that turned Phoenix around.
Chris, of the four teams left, where do you put the Suns in your power poll?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear that.
Of the four teams left, where do you put the Suns in regard to your power poll, 1 through 4?
I've got them picked in 7 over the Clippers. I think the Clippers have a lot of heart, obviously. I mean, I think it's just foolish to write them off at this point. But I think the Suns will beat them in 7. Wouldn't be shocked if it's less, but 7. And then I'm going to hold up. Certainly they're better than Atlanta. The question is Phoenix or Milwaukee. That's what I expect to see in the finals. And I'll make my pick before that. But I tell you what, I'm thinking I may go with Phoenix. And obviously, you know, you got Giannis and Milwaukee. They've got the length. But – I'm feeling like I might pick Phoenix, but I'm going to hold off on my official pick until we get to the finals. But no, bottom line is you guys have a great chance to win the championship. There's no doubt about it.
That's just amazing.
I'd say one, you and Milwaukee are two.
It's just amazing to hear that and to know that Michael Jordan can't stop Suns fans this time. So it just feels so good.
Right. And Giannis, as good as he is, he's not Michael George. So you're right about that.
Amen to that. Chris Broussard joining Doug and Wolf. You can tell me whether you're answering this as just an intelligent basketball dude or as an NBA insider, but when do you think Chris Paul plays his first game in the Western Conference Finals?
This is an educated guess, so it's not any intel or sourced information. I would say game three. That would be my educated guess. So we will see. But I don't think that, I mean, obviously Cam Payne filled in well. And you know what Chris gives you, it's just more great mid-range shooting, floor leadership and all that. But it's obviously they showed they could win without him yesterday. And they could potentially go up 2-0 without him, there's no doubt.
Feels good.
Hey,
feels
Chris,
good to hear
thank
that.
You so much for your time,
thanks
buddy.
For the energy,
we really
Chris.
Do appreciate it, man. Love to have you back on as well.
Anytime you guys need me. I love – see, I haven't been there in a long time since I was, like, really covering the league as a beat reporter. But I love Phoenix. I'm glad to see you guys – Phoenix, the Suns have been one of the great franchises. We all know that. So it's good to see them back in the mix.
Great
Thank
to hear.
You, Chris.
Thanks. That's cool. Thank you, Chris. There's Chris Broussard joining us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. You can get more of Chris if you want him on FS1 and Fox Sports and NBA Insider, and just an all-around good dude. He joined us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. If you're in the market for a new or pre-owned Coulter Cadillac courtesy vehicle, you want CoulterCadillacTempe.com. Experience the difference. Coming up next, if that was one game without CP3, what else can they do without him? But there's one stat to be very afraid of when it comes to playing the Clippers. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Suns playoff coverage presented by Four Peaks Kelplefter, the home of the Suns run to the championship. 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sun Station. The Clippers proved to be long-range snipers.
Out to Rondo, and he hits a three.
Wow, that's the guy you want to shoot him.
And with CP3 out of the lineup, the Suns turned to their superstar to carry them to a Game 1 win.
Pass out front, Bridges picks it off, 2-on-1. Bridges to Booker, to Bridges, wham, bam, slam.
Suns up 1-0 in the Western Conference Finals. Now.
Party people! Yeah! Tag team music in full effect. That's me, DC, the Brain Supreme, and my man Steve Rowland.
They were at the game last night.
How'd they do at halftime, Doug?
They did well. I had to admit, I thought it was hilarious when it was over and they yelled sprinkles.
These three words mean you're getting busy. Whoop, there it is, Hitman.
Whoop, there it is.
Yeah, boy.
Suns the winner last night, 120-114. Can't say it enough. Devin Booker, 40 points, 13 boards, 11 assists, led all players in points, led all players in rebounds, led all players in assists, one of only four players to do that in a conference final or NBA final, and the other three are basketball no-names. LeBron James, Bill Russell, Larry Bird.
That is incredible.
And
right
now
there.
Devin Booker is in that group. The latest on Chris Paul, Monty Williams?
As far as Chris is concerned, it's just a day-to-day thing with him right now. I probably drive the people here in town crazy with that, but that's the way it is. You know, we're hopeful that any day now we hear that he can – ramp up and get back with us. But right now he's in the protocols.
Well, Yahoo's Chris Haynes reported yesterday evening, and I don't think this guy ever gets anything wrong. I mean, this guy is a deeply embedded NBA insider. Yeah, really good reporter. He said the Suns are encouraged with the progress of Chris Paul, and hopefully he will clear health and safety protocols at some point during the Western Conference Finals. That means sooner than having to wait till the NBA Finals. What grabbed me is he said he's quarantining in Los Angeles and has been symptoms-free since testing positive. That is huge. That then it's just you're waiting for the antibodies that you've got from the vaccine to rid you of the virus and then pass a cardio test to make sure the virus had no effect on your heart. Officially, it's two tests negative with 24 hours in between tests. And once you do that, you're back and ready to go with the cardio testing. So that's why we were hoping so strongly for a Game 7 in Clippers Jazz to push yesterday's Game 1 to Tuesday night.
Yeah.
Well, now you're already up 1-0 without him. Maybe you get him Tuesday night. And if you don't, a report like that doesn't say he's back game three,
yeah,
but it really makes you feel like he will be.
Man, that is just so weird, though, to hear somebody say, you know, he should be back for the Western Conference Finals at some point. I mean, what? You know, he's not going to be back at Tuesday night.
I mean, it's clearly a guess on his part, but that's the should be. Now, we asked Chris Broussard already, man. If you just tuned in. He's the NBA insider with FS1 and Fox Sports. And I asked him, do you have any knowledge? Do you have any insight? Or is it just you're a smart dude covering the NBA for years and you know how to read the tea leaves between what people are saying and the way COVID protocols work? When do you think he is going to play again?
This is an educated guess, so it's not any intel or sourced information. I would say game three. That would be my educated guess. So we will see.
Wow, that is just right there once again. The whole time we were wondering, man, wouldn't it be great if somehow, some way, Chris Paul was back for game one? And now game one is coming, gone, and it's going to be game two, right? He's going to be fine. He's asymptomatic, for the crying out loud, according to this report. Game three, he might be back. Okay, you know what? Campaign. We need to start looking at campaign. He was good, and I thought that was really critical, especially in the first half, to get off to a good start. Campaign, I thought, was good. The fact that the Suns had the lead at the half, I thought, spoke well of campaign and how well he played. And I thought it sent a strong message to his teammates as well, Douglas. All is well.
You mentioned campaign. There's two things that, again, Chris Paul, 0 minutes played yesterday, but still the massive, massive impact. And since you mentioned campaign, I'll play one of them for you. He was simply asked, did Chris Paul talk to you or help you prepare for today's game? And, of course, they talked that morning.
Oh, he said the game going to be hectic, but keep your poise. That was the first thing he told me. He called me yesterday. He said the game going to get hectic. Don't worry about it. Be poised. He was like, I know y'all ain't played a long time. The crowd going to be crazy. He was like, but be poised. Get on to the next play. That's the thing about C. It's not so much him out there hooping. His communication is outstanding. Like, and we sit down and listen to him. He been here before. So he Hall of Fame. We got to listen to him. He got the knowledge. So we sit there, listen to him. That's the only thing, honestly, today we missed. He wasn't talking. We ain't have him on the bench talking today. We ain't have him on the court talking and the timeout talking. That's probably the craziest thing. Because he talks so much, man. It's crazy. He talk on the court, off the court, in the timeout, in the huddle, no huddle, screaming, running down the court. It's just some. And to not have that voice, it was kind of weird. The fact he can't even be at the game is kind of weird. But like I said, we just going to hold it down until you get back.
Is it possible that they actually missed Chris Paul more in regard to the intangibles than they did the tangibles in this game? One game. Now, granted, it's one game. But honestly, that is a question you've got to listen to this. Listen to what campaign just said about his communication and his leadership and how much he's talking. He's talking to everybody about everything.
there's more
it
on this.
It is amazing.
It's tough to put in measurement what Chris does for our ball club because he's the head of the snake. He's the guy who's putting everybody in position. So we just did a lot of that stuff on the fly. It was a little different, but we got the hang of it, especially by halftime. We came in and got to regroup a little bit. And saw a few things, but we definitely missed him. I think the last 3 minutes of that game, that's when we felt like, where the hell is Chris at? That's the point where he's that guy. He's that guy to make that play for everybody. He's that guy to put us in position. And especially with a lead or down, we depend on him to make those plays, especially late in the game.
That's Jay Crowder admitting, I just played 45 minutes of basketball and we were fine. And you really felt it the last 3 minutes. A veteran to that caliber who knows what to do, who's just in an NBA Finals, admitting how tough it was down the stretch, which just gives you that much more confidence in Devin Booker, that much more confidence in Monty Williams, that they just won a game that was close down the stretch without the leadership of Chris Paul on the court.
Once again, is it possible the Suns missed him more with the intangibles than the tangible of actually dribbling the basketball, passing the basketball, shooting the basketball?
And there's one more I was going to get to, but I don't want to get to it because I don't want to lose any time. We're going to have Ryan Russillo on next, one of the best NBA podcasts in the business, and probably the best. So I want to give him as much time as possible. But DeAndre Ayton was talking about his first Father's Day as now a dad, and the first person to text him this morning, Chris Paul. See what I mean?
CP3.
I mean, just leadership all over the place from Chris Paul. Coming up next, I just told you. Pretty cool. Ryan Russillo, NBA, covers for The Ringer, does his own podcast, all-around NBA knowledgeable dude. What's he think when he hears Suns up 1-0? It's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The Suns run to the championship. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station, and the Arizona Sports app. Suns playoff coverage presented by Four Peaks Kilt Lifter. Doug and Wolf talk Suns Clippers now.
As a way to welcome our next guest on, Ryan Russillo, who just called in on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Ryan, usually when you hear this phrase, it's going to make you sound old. And even though I don't mean it that way, I'm going to do it anyway. Would you consider yourself the father of all NBA podcasts? You started this thing.
Well, look, Bill Simmons definitely was the first guy, at least in the sports part of it, who just, it was kind of funny because at ESPN, he was like, all right, I'm just going to go ahead and do this.
Mm-hmm.
But I did have that NBA Today one that was very early. I mean, it's really funny to think about this. I got paid $75 a podcast and I was doing College Game Day and co-hosting with Van Pelt. So it was the third thing, but I kind of was my own thing. So I liked doing it, but I was telling people like, look, the first half of the season with the college football, like I'm traveling in that Monday NBA Today podcast. Like it's a lot of work. And I put in, you know, whatever, I was doing two episodes, I think a week or something. And I said, is there any way I can get more than $75? And they were like, no, there's just no way.
Ryan,
done developing that.
Yes, I say game one of the Western Conference Finals. Where does your mind go?
When I'm just watching it?
Yes.
Well, look, I really like this Phoenix team. I'm as big a Chris Paul fan as there is. I think everybody knows that. And so once he came in, you're like, wait a minute. You can kind of see how this would all work out. And we can kind of go over the course of the season and Booker and Aiden and all the different things and Bridges development. But, you know, I had a real hang up about the Lakers because I just thought against the size, you know, and the Lakers have this tendency of like letting Anthony Davis pretend he's a power forward, but then closing him at a center when they need to. And I just thought it was too much. So I wanted to pick Phoenix to win the West until we saw the team come out. Cause I thought they would have beaten Utah. I still think they would have beaten a healthy Clippers team. I just liked them that much, but there was a size problem and who knows, I still might've been wrong about that. So to see that happen yesterday without Chris Paul, and granted, look, I mean, we're talking about Kawhi being a top five player, not being out there. So we have to kind of put all this in perspective. I think you guys would agree. And what nationally people learned about Devin Booker is that through all the ups and downs of it, where there's a lot more downs prior to this year, but when they had seasons with too many guards and then not enough guards, and Booker, I think, was developing these point guard skills because he was basically bringing the ball up and then making all of these decisions, that game one was the culmination of all that stuff. But all those lessons learned through all those years and kind of odd roster, you know, deals where they just didn't have enough ball creators. They didn't have enough guys to figure it out. Like it came back to where even with Cameron Payne being there in the big moments when Booker took over, it was him making the decisions and he was fantastic.
Not only do I agree with you, Ryan, and Ryan Russillo has called in joining us, host of the Ryan Russillo podcast. What's more impressive to me is through all of that, okay, wait, I've got 9-point guards. Wait, I have 0-point guards. Wait, I've broken, I have an issue with my right wrist, so I'm going to relearn how to use my left hand much better. Where was the complaining? And I don't want to attack the entire NBA, but every time something doesn't go somebody's way, an NBA player leaves to create a dream team somewhere else, Devin Booker sticking it out is so old school that you can really relate to why Suns fans love this guy so much.
Yeah, and look, I also know that I wasn't a huge fan. There weren't a ton of Ryan Russillo fans in the Phoenix area after I had said, like, hey, I think he's probably going to want out of there. And then they ended up with Chris Paul. So it's two completely different conversations.
Yes.
I think history will tell you that every rookie, until we start to learn some new things, but every rookie does the rookie max deal. Like looking at Luka Doncic's numbers, despite all that difference, it's like $40 million on that first deal when you haven't already made $30 million a year. Mm-hmm. You know, the guys that have already done the max deals can shave a few million off and not even blink, but the younger players don't really do that. So, you know, I think right now that's the best part of it because he's homegrown. He feels like, you know, it's just kind of funny watching like even ESPN this morning where all of a sudden now everybody's like the biggest Devin Booker guy ever. And for Phoenix fans, you're like, yeah, we already knew how great this guy was, but these are the rules, right? You start winning big playoff games, start getting further and further into it, then just the way you're talked about, the perception of you is completely different, even if your game has been the same the entire time. Mm. The only pushback I would have is that I just think the history of this league has shown us that if you're a really talented player and you're not in a great winning situation, which is what Phoenix was pre-Chris Paul, you know, I don't know how happy any player would be in those situations. That's what I brought up. And, you know, look, I got criticized for it, which is understandable, but I think Chris Paul fixed a lot of that.
You know, for me, Ryan, it's as a former professional athlete, I look at Devin Booker and his performance in game one, and the expectation was that Devin Booker had to go out and play great. The fact that he actually did go out and take this game over and play great, I have to tell you right now, whether you're a fan, whether you're in the front office, whether you're one of his teammates, that to me was the most impressive thing about what Devin Booker did last night.
Yeah, those are those, like, those guys where, you know, and you understand this because it happens in every sport, but in those moments where it's like, okay, I know what this guy's stats are, I know what, you know, the idea of this player is, like, I always think one of the post-Jordan things that's really funny about this league is that I think you have a generation of players that as long as they take the last second shot, even if it's terrible, it's like, well, I took it, you know, just like MJ and Kobe would. And you're like, okay, yes. But it'd be awesome if it went in, you know? there's a trust level. You know, it's a weird thing about Phoenix where, you know, I was watching Booker and going, you know, even though Paul George was really good there for three quarters, and, you know, I don't know that it was totally on him in the fourth, but you just have this trust level with him that it's like, okay, you know, I can hit you with a three. The mid-range part of it, that Van Gundy is like, a guy like Booker, because of today's defense, is protecting the rim and chasing everybody off the three-point line. You know, to have somebody who can just get to that mid-range and be as comfortable as anyone in that area, including his teammate, Chris Paul, it's a completely different kind of weapon to have, because a lot of teams just don't really have that. I mean, mm-hmm. That's what the Clippers have with Kawhi if he ever comes back here. But that's, I think, the coolest part of the Booker story is there's this run, these almost like Klay Thompson runs, where he's completely unstoppable because he's also hurting you from an area of the floor that most defenses aren't prepared to stop or they're giving to you.
Talking to Ryan Russillo, host of the Ryan Russillo podcast. Ryan, you just touched on something, and I'm wondering, go deep into your basketball analytics. Are the Suns really good because analytics is so scared of the three-point line, and therefore that opens up Chris Paul and Devin Booker to be able to hit those mid-range twos? Or is it kind of the exact opposite, you know, that's never left? It should have never left, and yes, threes are important, but why does that mean you shouldn't be able to hit an open 17-footer? Where do you think this changes the direction of basketball at all?
You know, I don't think that'll happen, you know, and I think you're asking like a big question that, you know, I could spend a lot of time on, because like whenever somebody hits a long two, then the old school guys are like, analytics are stupid. And then analytics are like, no, we don't hate long twos if you're awesome at them. So that would be the case. And Chris Paul and Devin Booker are incredible in that area. But I think most teams will tell you, we'd still rather chase you off the three because of the math of the value there. So it's not, you know, I don't really know that I take one side all that strongly on some of the analytics stuff. I'm like, I think that's kind of a waste of time. And other times it's like, what, are you guys going to completely ignore the value of any of these numbers? Like, that seems a little archaic too. So I wouldn't say that the primary reason the Suns are good is because the analytics have forced people to defend different parts of the area. I just think this roster construction is really cool. You know, it's established. I love Chris Paul. I love how he plays the game based on the game situation. You know, 16 points for him is different for other guys. I mean, he could get 30 every night if he wanted to. He doesn't need to. He chooses not to. You know, there's games where I've seen Booker take a while to get going, but that means Bridges, you know, whether it's in transition or some of those corner threes, and then defensively how he can switch And Ayton, who I, you know, I'll tell you, the middle of the season, I go, I don't know if it's going to happen with this guy. Like, he's going to play a long time.
You weren't alone.
I don't know what's going to happen. Yeah. And he figured it out. I felt like Booker and Paul even kind of, like, gave up on him a little bit there. He'd be cutting, and he just would never get a touch or, you know, late in the game, some of the substitution patterns, or it just felt like they didn't really trust him a ton. And now he's had this resurgence. So, really, the best answer, I think, for describing or explaining who the Suns are right now is that they have a great group of players that all know exactly what their role is, like 1 through 7, 1 through 8. And the roster is the reason more than it would be any development in the way the game is approached.
Ryan Russillo joining Doug and Wolf. Since you were nice enough to give us your time, take 20 seconds and plug yourself. If people are waking up saying, I want more Ryan Russillo in my life, where can they get it?
Well, 3 podcasts a week with Ringer, part of the Spotify podcast network. Bill Simmons and I just launched a 2-parter last night. It's about 3 hours, recapping everything from Friday into Sunday, even a little off-season stuff, but a lot of love for the Suns. He's staying with the Clippers. He seems to think Kawhi's coming back. We both admitted we're not sure because it seems to be a lot of bad information out there. But, you know, I can't wait to see Chris Paul back out there. So I even think if everybody's back, I still like the Suns. So we'll see.
Ryan, love your stuff, man. Thanks. You, brother.
Oh, hey, thanks a lot for calling me this morning. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. That's great. Ryan Russillo joining us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. If you're in the market for a new or pre-owned Cadillac, you want CoulterCadillacTempe.com. Experience the difference. We've got an opportunity for you to go see Game 2 and to hear Vince Murata as your public address announcer. Text TICKET to 620-620 and listen every hour starting at 7 a.m. tomorrow for your chance at Suns playoff tickets. That's text TICKET to 620-620. Suns playoff run crosstalk with Bickley and Murata next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Suns playoff coverage presented by Four Peaks Kilt Lifter. Bickley and Murata join Doug and Wolf to talk Suns in the Western Conference Finals. Suns playoff crosstalk.
Bickley and Murata start at 10 o'clock, and they're nice enough to do a little overtime and walk in here on the Doug and Wolf Show in the Auction Community Studios and talk Suns Game 1, Western Conference Finals against the L.A. Clippers. And I Vince, you're, you know, as much of a stat geek as I am, but this is the one that grabbed me even more than the craziness of having the same score in a 40-point triple-double. There are 4 human beings in a conference finals or NBA finals, 4, that have ever led both teams in scoring, assists, and rebounds. Their names are Bill Russell, LeBron James, Larry Bird, and Devin Booker.
I heard you give that stat earlier today. I had not seen that one, so that's amazing stuff.
That's ESPN stats and info.
And I agree with your, because you can slice and dice these things any way you want. And sometimes you put the criteria into the stat head engine, mm-hmm. and it comes up, and you're like, it's not all that impressive.
Yeah.
When the names come up like that, yeah. that shows you what kind of game Devin Booker had.
Yes.
It was fantastic to see.
Is that where you guys start when you think of the Suns and what you saw yesterday?
Yeah, that and just this overwhelming feeling I had yesterday that I wrote about today, that we are really close to a championship parade. Because the connectivity of this basketball team without Chris Paul, how they functioned without Chris Paul while he was still remotely involved, it's fascinating. It's encouraging. It just speaks to me. They just feel unbreakable to me.
As soon as that overtime ended with Brooklyn, I felt like, holy crap,
same,
the Suns are the best
same.
Team.
Even
more than Philly. I wasn't really scared of Philly. Of course, Philly could win it, but I wasn't scared of them. But as soon as Saturday ended, I thought, oh, my gosh, the Suns are the best team in the NBA right now.
It's funny you say that, too. I was having dinner with my kids last night, and we were watching the end of the Atlanta-Philly game, and I said, if it came down to it, who would you want the Suns to play in the finals? And they both said they'd rather play Philly than Atlanta.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
Man, I cannot help, guys, but think of Devin Booker and his performance, mm-hmm. obviously. Everybody is talking about Devin Booker. What was the most impressive thing? Was there a point in the game?
Yeah.
What is that, Danny?
Okay, to me, a couple of things. Number one, I really like how prepared he was whenever the Clippers decided to blitz him, throw a double team at him, how quick he got rid of the ball. The ball movement, the decisions he made in those situations, he showed a lot of maturity. But I just think when the Clippers threatened to take control of that game in the third quarter, he was just having none of it. And that, to me, that's superstar-like. That's superstar territory.
I'm glad you brought up the blitzing of him, because remember how bad some of the turnovers were in the Nuggets series. Mm-hmm. It didn't matter when you beat them 4-0, but some of those turnovers, like, Devin, why did you jump? You don't have an option here. And then for him to get that fixed, there were so many elements of his game. He was playing defense as well. I mean, that was it was almost a perfect basketball game played by him.
Yeah, when you look at 11 assists over two turnovers, and if you didn't watch the details of the game, you might think, oh, L.A. didn't make it very hard on him. I mean, that's a really good assist-to-turnover ratio. That mm-hmm. was not the case. He just made correct decision after correct decision. It was masterful. And like Bick said, I mean, the Clippers were coming off a game where they're down big, they make a run, and the other side never responds to it. They mm-hmm. just fold it up shop. And Devin Booker, that's what the Stars mm-hmm. do. Hey, you're going to be okay. I'm going to score the next 16 points for us just to let everybody know we're going to be
yeah.
okay.
Yeah. Yeah, just to repel yeah. this charge right now.
And we've talked so much over the course of the season, too. When Chris Paul is healthy and with this team, the Suns are uniquely equipped to have two guys that can do that. They've both done it now in the postseason, and Booker did it just to a different level yesterday.
For me, it's just what's incredible is the expectation, the pressure that was on Devin Booker. Everybody said, hey, listen, you know what? You've got to go out, just like Paul George did for the Clippers. Mm-hmm. You've got to go out and take control of this game. And then to go out and do it to the degree in which he did it, mm-hmm. where he recorded his first triple-double of his career, that to me is stunning, and his profile yeah. goes like
oh,
this.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. I mean, because that is that audience yesterday. That's the biggest audience Devin Booker's ever played before,
mm-hmm.
and that's the biggest stage he's ever played before. And to do that on command, that's an impact statement. I totally agree with you. That is an impact statement, and I just find it laughable that so many of the hot take artists in the national media, Stephen A. Smith today declared that Devin Booker's the next Kobe Bryant. He said it's official because he said it. So to him, it's official because he's getting around to saying it.
Hey, Beck, imagine being among that group of people who woke up on the morning of June 21st and thought to themselves, you know what? I'm convinced that Devin Booker kid's pretty good
yeah,
now.
Right. Yeah, right.
Thanks.
Exactly.
Thanks
yeah,
for
thanks.
Showing up.
Called yeah. him a mini Mamba.
Yeah. That was Max Kellerman did that.
Was, okay. called,
but yes, it was the same show. So to me, the shock was not what those two were saying. It was the fact that Magic was agreeing. That Magic's going, yep, yep, mm-hmm. yep. That, like, to me, that was more powerful than anything Stephen A. Smith said of the greatest point guard of all time saying, yes, he reminded me of the same guy. That was scary. We were about 2 months ago. DeAndre Ayton was being benched in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And now this is the second L.A. franchise that literally changed their game plan because of the performance of DeAndre Ayton. How does anybody in their life improve this much in 2 months?
Yeah, this is such a great story for everybody involved. And I was watching him play last night in the activity and the passing that he did when he was about to go to campaign and saw the Clippers slide that way and instead got the ball to Mikal Bridges. He's just playing with an alertness and a focus now that you can see what that does, what that unlocks in his game.
Yes. And I love that term, unlocks in his game.
It does. And look, I'm sure you guys read that piece he wrote in the Players Tribune.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I found that to be fascinating as well. I think this kid has just blossomed. He's grown up. He's, I don't know. It's wonderful to see because all the potential that we were all harping on him to unleash, it's happening now. And everybody sees it, and teams can't deal with it.
And I know one of the minor sticking points, too, and we had this discussion a lot, Bick, was dunk the damn ball.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. Ten buckets, six dunks yesterday, and nearly took the rim off.
And
on
did
a
you
few
see
of
how
them.
The Clippers scattered? I mean, yeah. we've been screaming at him yeah. to dunk mm-hmm. forever because NBA players don't want to get posterized. And
no.
Oh, my gosh. All four of us have been blitzkrieged on Twitter by the Ayton apologists because we've asked the poor guy to dunk since he's
that's
that
okay.
that high. And now that he's dunking, does everybody realize, look how fast the Clippers ran away from the rim and changed their game plan because of it.
Yeah, that's dunking is one of the major currencies of NBA basketball. It creates energy. It creates intimidation. It's like a huge hit in football.
Mm-hmm. No doubt about it.
Exactly.
What's your guess on CP3 here? What do you think he might play?
Well,
what are you guys hearing?
Again, this whole thing is really kind of baffling to me. But I was really hopeful it'd be game two, but the fact that he's in Los Angeles leads me to believe that he's not coming back from L.A. Leads me to believe it's going to be game three.
Well, let's remember, it's not a cross-country covered wagon trip either from L.A. to Phoenix.
Right, it's true. No, you're right about that. You're right about that.
I don't have time to ask this, but I'm going to do it anyway since you kind of touched on it, Vince. Why were the Clippers here yesterday? Why weren't they in Utah for Game 7? How did that happen? How did that happen?
Just an unbelievable – well, I mean, the Clippers were otherworldly in that run, and what they did in the fourth quarter of that game was just baffling.
Mm-hmm.
But on the flip side, what Utah did or didn't do in terms of making defensive adjustments, that made Rudy Gobert look like a bad defensive player, what they were doing, because they just didn't adjust anywhere else.
Right. No, they just the Clippers lured him out to the perimeter and just dissected that defense, and Quinn Snyder never did anything about it.
That was bad. Have a good show, boys.
All right, thanks, Ben.
Thank Bickley and Murata live here in the Auction Community Studios. If you want to go here, the PA voice of your Phoenix Suns live, text TICKET to 620-620. And oh, by the way, you'll also see Game 2 of the Western Conference Finals. Here's how you do it. You text TICKET to 620-620, and you'll listen tomorrow starting at 7 o'clock for your chance to be a winner.
How did the show make you feel?
Woo!
Doug and Wolf's.
It's all about the you. It's all about
the you. Brought to you by Carol Royce Keller Williams Realty East Valley. Get more money selling your home. Go to carolhasthebuyers.com. That's carolhasthebuyers.com.
My big takeaway from today's show is saying the names again. Bill Russell, Larry Bird, LeBron James, Devin Booker.
Yes, Devin Armani Booker. Peace and strength.